The Offside Rule Euro Show with Kate Vorsay, Lindsay Hooper and Hayley McQueen. Brought to you by HTC. Official smartphone of the UEFA Champions League and UEFA Europa League.
Hello and welcome to the first ever The Offside Rule Euro Show brought to you by HTC. And it's pretty much proceedings as usual. If you are a regular listener to The Offside Rule, we get it podcast. Apart from with a European twist, a European angle. Same motley crew. Lindsay Hooper joined by Hayley McQueen and Kate Vorsay. Say hello, girls.
Hello. I think we should start this off. It's Kate. Hello. By saying hello in a European language each. So I'm going to say guten tag.
This is Hayley. Bonjour.
Ciao. There you go. We'll try and work on that. I'm not very good at languages, although maybe I should improve over the course of these shows. We're going to have two topics to discuss. So coming up later, I want you to think about strikers in the Champions League and Europa League. In fact, girls, you both know already, I've assigned you a task. I've got a slightly different one, but we're going to talk about strikers in those tournaments this season. Also, to tie in with a brilliant competition that we're running in association with HTC, a pair of tickets to go to see Man City versus Roma, their first home game of the Champions League, which is on Tuesday, the 30th of September. Details on how you can win a pair of tickets coming up later. We also have deflected from our usual podcast, European experts. We've got two on this podcast.
It's very fancy indeed. They get a couple of minutes each to tell us how the Champions League sides playing the UK opposition, how they're being received in their home country. So news from the ground in Europe.
You should hopefully learn a thing or two along with this. For myself and Kate, in terms of the European opposition, we're going to be learning a few things as we go along. Hayley, a bit more of an expert because you're actually fronting all of the Champions League for Sky this season.
Yes, Sky Sports, Tuesday night. I will be in the studio. Jeff Stelling will, of course, be holding fort with the gents the main studio, and I'll be taking charge of the other games on another channel behind the red button.
Lovely stuff. We're very proud. English opposition then in the Champions League and Europa League this week sees Liverpool face Ludogorets at Anfield. Man City travel to the Allianz to take on Bayern Munich. That's going to be a clash of the titans. Arsenal are at Dortmund. Chelsea welcome Schalke to Stamford Bridge. And in the Europa League, I think Everton have got the toughest group here. Everton are at home to Wolfsburg. Celtic go to Red Bull Salzburg and Spurs are at Partizan Belgrade. Well, given that much is already known about Bayern Munich, Man City's opposition, and Susie Scharf, by the way, will be talking about that in her Bundesliga roundup, we're also going to focus on other English opposition. I would like you both to tell us something we don't already know, or might not already know, about the following. As is tradition in any Offside Rule broadcast, we're going to go to Hayley McQueen first. And I've asked you to look at Schalke.
I'm looking at Schalke. Kate will be talking us through Wolfsburg, and you, Lindsay, have got Ludogorets, but Schalke is a team that Chelsea already know pretty well. Their nickname is the Royal Blues. They'll be playing the Blues and might have the Blues, which they did last season. They lost 3-0 in both home and away games in the group stages just last season. The teams actually also met a few seasons before, 07-08, also in the group stage. Chelsea, 2-0 victors in London. Didier Drogba scoring this second, so he knows a bit about this side as well. It finished up 0-0 in Germany, but because this game is at home, we will stick with those first stats, and Chelsea fans will be optimistic about that. Schalke, they're in terrible form at the moment. They suffered three defeats and a draw in the first four games of the season. They've made history. Not going to be proud of this. First time in 46 years that they failed to win any of their first four competitive games of a new season. They have, however, scored in all of those games. So they can score, they just can't win. It all started with the curtain raiser. I think they're jinxed. They lost in the German Cup to a third tier side, a bit like the Community Shield. They had the German Cup. 2002, they damaged the cup. Since then, they have never won it. Possibly bad luck. Schalke's manager at the time, Rudi Ojeda, dropped the cup from a wagon on which they were standing and it got squashed. That's right. It was completely crooked and a new one had to be manufactured. They won it in 37, 72, 2001 and successfully defended it in 2002, but crashed out this season to that third tier side. They have a famous fan. They have an honorary member of the club in 1987 after celebrating Mass in their old stadium, the Parkstadion. Pope John Paul II became an honorary member.
Wow. I don't think celebrity fans come much bigger than the Pope, do they? And from what you just mentioned there as well, I have to say any team entering the Champions League or the Europa League for that matter, but even more so with the UEFA Champions League, is can you imagine the one trophy lift in your life when you don't want to drop the trophy, isn't it? The one when you go in at the end of the season. Kate, you've got Wolfsburg.
Poor at Everton. I've got a terrible group, haven't they? They really, really have. We'll move on to that a little bit later on. Let's talk about Wolfsburg first of all, or Wolfsburg if you're German. Where does that come from, the old Wolfs or Wolfsburg? Well, they actually originate from the Volkswagen factory. This was a factory team put together by the car manufacturer Volkswagen, and therefore Wolfsburg was born. So from Wolfs to Wolfs. Manager Dieter Hecking, well, he's the right man to turn to. If things go amiss, if people start misbehaving in these Europa League fixtures, he's taken a police training course, girls, so he'll be sorting them out. One of their big signings this summer, the lost superstar, and I'm going to put superstar in inverted commas because it was Nicholas Bentner. He signed a 3-year contract for Wolfsburg. This is a player, if I'm to get you to cast your mind back, who said that he'd end up playing for Real Madrid and Barcelona at one time. In fact, this is a player who in 2009 said that in 3 years he was going to be as good as Zlatan Ibrahimovic. So 3 years from 2009 is 2012. What was Nicholas Bentner up to in 2012? Well, he was playing for Juventus, fair play, but he didn't manage to score a single goal throughout his whole season on loan at Juventus. Definitely not at Zlatan level. The club won the Scudetto. It was nothing to do with Nicholas Bentner. Bentner's now at Wolfsburg. How's he done so far? 0 goals. OK, he's only played in a couple of matches. He's still settling in. But look out for Nicholas Bentner. He's back in the Europa League, folks.
Or maybe don't look out for him. In fact, just glance right over him.
Yeah, exactly. Lindsay.
I've got Ludogorets, as you say, Liverpool's opposition this week. They're a Bulgarian football club based in Razgrad, and they're debutants in the Champions League, and they're only the second Bulgarian side to make the group stages. If you were wondering, or you've got a pub quiz this week, the other being Levski Sofia in 2006. They're drawn in Group B. That also contains Real Madrid, the current champions, and Swiss champions Basel. I think they've got a tough one. A couple of things that you might not know about these as opposition. Well, one thing is that the club is nicknamed the Eagles, and they actually got given something this year by one of their Europa League opposing sides. Lazio, very generously, gave them a new club mascot, a live eagle. It's been called Fortuna, and for me, I think it might be the only stadium now, Ludogorets, which doesn't have any pigeons because of that.
They're obviously the Crystal Palace of the Bulgarian League, because as we know, before every Palace game, the eagle sets flight.
And it's the only one where you know you're not going to have any bird poop for definite from a pigeon on you. So that eagle is welcome by me.
Unless it's the eagle and you're really going to be covered in it, aren't you? Deary me.
The other great story about Ludogorets, and if anyone missed this, it was such a brilliant tale of how they got to the group stages of the Champions League. They won both of their qualifiers against F91 of Luxembourg and Partizan Belgrade. And in the playoff, they defeated Steaua Bucharest to reach the group stage for the very first time, but in a very unusual manner. Goalkeeper Vladislav Stoyanov was dismissed for a second yellow card in the last minute of extra time in the second leg. Last minute. Ludogorets had used all of their substitutes at that point. So in the penalty shootout, up steps centre-back Cosmin Motti. And he goes into goal. Having converted his first penalty, he then went in goal, made 2 saves and put them through 6-5 on penalties. Ludogorets have now named a new stand after him, Motti. Not only this, but I think they should really consider him right now, because going into the game with Liverpool, there's a real keeper crisis. Because he's suspended Stoyanov because of those 2 yellow cards, their backup goalkeeper has also been ruled out with a shoulder injury. The manager's saying it's a serious injury. He'll probably undergo surgery on Monday. So why not put Motti in? That's what I'm thinking.
Hi, I'm Neil Lennon, and you're listening to The Offside Rule. We get it. These girls know what they're talking about.
More news to come in just a few moments on how you can win a pair of tickets to see Manchester City versus Roma, the first home game for them of their Champions League campaign. That match happening on Tuesday, the 30th of September. Check your diaries. If you're free, circle it. A pair of tickets could be yours. We'll let you know how to win using the hashtag HTC Offside a little bit later. But first, we're going to throw over to our foreign experts. We've got a brand new Bundesliga expert, Susie Scharf. She's going to let us know exactly what's been happening with some stiff opposition, some English opposition for German sides this week. And Rhiannon Jones is going to update us on La Liga with quite a few Champions League debuts there as well.
Bundesliga with Susie Scharf.
Schalke is in a fair bit of trouble, and it's certainly not going to get any easier for them with Chelsea on Wednesday, is it now, ladies? Sporting director Horst Held insists there's no crisis and that they remain calm. Keep calm and beat Chelsea, anyone? Their only positive result this season is a 1-1 draw with Bayern, and now they face Diego Costa in his hat trick. No surprise that calls for Jens Keller's job are ringing around Gelsenkirchen right now. And poor Holger Badstuber. The man can absolutely not catch a break, now out for two additional months after missing 2 years of competition. But it's not all doom and gloom for Bayern, as Frank Ribéry made his return to the left flank and promptly scored over the weekend. Xabi Alonso has also slotted seamlessly into his new side, and I'm not sure if you can say the same with the switch for Toni Kroos at Real Madrid. Wednesday's mouth-watering clash against Manchester City will feature the debut of new signing Mehdi Benatia and hopefully the return of the Flying Dutchman Arjen Robben. Borussia Dortmund welcomed back Shinji Kagawa after his disastrous tenure at Manchester United. And what did he do on his re-debut? Scored a goal, that's what. I've got to tell you, BVB looks surprisingly good considering they're missing Marco Reus, Ilkay Gundogan, Jacob Lazakowski, Nuri Sahin, and Mats Hummels. But Jurgen Klopp does get the best out of his seemingly endless supply of young talent, and the match against Arsenal should be an absolute cracker. And finally, a little bit of wag gossip for the ladies. Longtime couple Bastian Schweinsteiger and Sarah Brandner, after being rumored to split, were seen together at P1 recently. He might have felt a bit of pressure to reconcile, as Allgemeine Zeitung, a Munich newspaper, casually posted the building he lived in an article about their breakup. Eek!
La Liga with Rhiannon Jones.
Hi girls, from sunny London this time before I get back on a flight to Madrid just in time for Real Madrid's Champions League opener against FC Basel. Exactly 115 days after lifting La Decima in Lisbon, Carlo Ancelotti's men are looking to become the first ever team to win the Champions League 2 years running. They'll be hoping to extend their run of 18 Champions League games unbeaten at the Bernabeu and get off to a winning start in Europe's top competition. And they have UEFA's best player in Europe to help them. Cristiano Ronaldo's back from injury and will no doubt be looking to improve even further on his record-breaking 17-goal haul of last season. After Saturday's derby loss, the talking point in the Spanish capital once again, surprise, surprise, revolves around the goalkeepers. According to the Spanish media, most Madridistas would put summer signing Keylor Navas in goal on Tuesday, a game that would see the Costa Rican get his first taste of Champions League action. However, Carlo Ancelotti has ruled out any debate on Real Madrid's shot stopper. So it looks like Iker Casillas will start in goal once again. Meanwhile, after their derby win, last season's runners-up will begin their Champions League campaign on a high. A tough first game for Atletico Madrid against Olympiacos, but they'll certainly glean plenty of confidence from last season unbeaten in all six away Champions League games. Now, a veteran of European nights from his playing days, Luis Enrique makes his European coaching debut as Barcelona host Apoel FC in their opening game at the Camp Nou. They too will be feeling confident ahead of this one as the only Liga side with maximum points. Lionel Messi and Andres Iniesta are back from injury and Neymar scored his first goals of the season at the weekend. Athletic Bilbao return to Champions League action for only the second time and start their campaign hosting FC Shakhtar Donetsk at their impressive new home, built beside the old San Mamés, already proving a fortress since opening 12 months ago, just like La Catedral. Athletic have lost just one of their last 15 European matches and winning 8. That's it for now, girls. Good luck with the new Euro show. I'm off to catch my flight back to Madrid for another night of Champions League action. Adios.
Thank you very much to Rhiannon and Susie. And remember to check out our website, offsiderulepodcast.com. We've got a dedicated European section, some European blogs. Mina Rizuki has done a Euro blog for us, which I highly recommend you have a read of this week. And loads more going on there, including details and terms and conditions of our competition this week. Great prizes, girls, that we're giving away.
Amazing prizes. What is it, Hoops?
Well, this week we've got a pair of tickets for Manchester City versus Roma. Whether you're a City fan or you just want to go and sample some Champions League football, Hayley McQueen will tell you how exciting it gets being a Man United fan.
It's really exciting this season, being heavily involved in this European competition. Thanks.
You've got a lot of European history.
History, yeah. It's all history. That's the problem.
Okay, well, answer this and you could be going and actually sampling some. You might want to do that if you're a United fan this season then. Not for City. Which striker in the UEFA Champions League do you think will have most impact and why? I'm going to repeat that question because it's one to just deliberate for a second and have a think. Which striker in the UEFA Champions League do you think will have the most impact and why? We need you to tweet us using the hashtag HTCOffside. We're at OffsideRulePod. That's our Twitter handle. Get in touch via there. Also via our website you can enter as well. And there are full terms and conditions on there, aren't there?
There certainly are. And a closing date as well, which I think is about the 25th of September. So get entering.
Good luck with that. And we're going to use that as inspiration for our final topic, girls, to do with strikers in the Champions League. I've assigned you something different each because before a ball has even been kicked, many are predicting, aren't they, that Real Madrid's Ronaldo will be the top scorer again in the Champions League campaign. Do you agree with that? Who else do you think might be in contention, or do you think someone else has a shot at netting the most goals? We're going to look at the Europa League as well. I am going to divide this up. Hayley, because you're covering Champions League, I think we'll make you our Champions League correspondent for our shows. So who do you think will be the top goal scorer in the Champions League and why?
Well, I just don't think we can look past Cristiano Ronaldo and this great Real Madrid side who will be reeling off the back of a really terrible defeat at the weekend to Atletico Madrid. I think he'll be hell-bent on making sure he keeps that up and has another season as a leading scorer. But be clever. Stick to strikers from leading Champions League favourites. The Champions League top goal scorer normally comes from a team who successfully progressed to the latter stages, the semis or the finals. In fact, in the last 10 seasons, no Champions League top scorer has scored fewer than 8 goals and hasn't reached the semi-finals. They've all got there or to the final. We have big names in there. If Messi can stay fit, great. Lewandowski, Ibrahimovic. I think it's going to be Diego Costa. In Chelsea's group, I can see him scoring goals and then progressing under Mourinho. Schalke, Sporting and Maribor. You cannot look past him. He's a wonderfully attacking player. He creates so many chances, lots of spaces for a striker as well. Very physical. The way he plays, he could have injury problems. Let's hope not. Let's hope that it is a British team who goes on to produce a leading scorer.
And the same question as well for you, Kate, but with a Europa League angle.
I like Everton as a team. They've got a very tough group. I do fancy them and Martinez to go quite far in this competition because I think Martinez fancies this competition. If they can get past this group stage, I think they could do very, very well. But I'm not going to look at Everton for my top scorer because of their tricky first group. Instead, I'm going to go for a Napoli player. Managed, of course, Napoli by Rafa Benitez, who's already won the competition twice. They didn't get past the round of 16 last season, but then neither did Salzburg. Pretty easy draw against Bratislava, Sparta Prague and Young Boys. Top scorer-wise, I could have looked at Gonzalo Higuain, who did really well last year in the Europa League. But instead, I'm going to save the Argentinian because he could be a bit match tired, so he might not play every game. And I'm going to go for José Callejón instead. Ex-Real Madrid player, now plays for Napoli. Speed and acceleration are his big assets. I can really see him running amok against some of those lesser experienced defences. He scored already in Napoli's first Serie A game, plays up front or on the right wing, and I think he could do very well. So that's my hint, José Callejón.
Keep calm and Callejón.
Absolutely. Lindsay?
Well, you've both covered the tournaments. Champions League covered by Hayley, admirably. Europa League covered by Kate, admirably. Maybe you want to go and put a little cheeky 2 pence down on that, see whether she's right. You might get a few quid back. I'm going to therefore go for strikers that I don't think are going to score any goals. In fact, I'm going for one striker, and it can be from the Europa League or Champions League. I've gone for Europa League, a striker that I don't think will score, and that player is Anthony Stokes from Celtic. That's who I'm going for. I notice how I'm giving myself all the backlash here, girls. But he has got a pretty dismal record when it comes to Europe. His domestic record, much better for Celtic. But as soon as it seems to step into the wider international stage, he slips up, really. Overall, he's had 21 appearances in Europe, scored just 2 goals. And both of those came in the same game at Parkhead in the Europa Cup in 2011. In 2013, when Celtic were in the Champions League, he failed to hit the target in 8 starts. He made 12 appearances as well in the Premier League for Sunderland, you may recall, and failed to score in any of those. So I just think that he will play, but he won't score any goals. And there's a bit of a shuffle there at the moment. Manager Ronnie Daler has got his own strategy about things, and I'm not sure any of the central strikers fit into his plans at the moment. It's an interesting one to develop. So I'm going Anthony Stokes, Celtic, won't score.
The Offside Rule Euro Show is brought to you by HTC, official smartphone of the UEFA Champions League and UEFA Europa League.
So a final mention for our competition here. Pop onto the website, details are on there. Send us your answer to which player you think is going to have the most impact in the Champions League this season. At Offside Rule Pod is where you need to send it to, or you can enter online with the hashtag HTC Offside.
Yeah, make sure you do that. And thank you very much for listening. We will have a review show coming up in a few days' time as well. This has been the Offside Rule Euro Show, brought to you by HTC, the official smartphone of the UEFA Champions League and UEFA Europa League.
Terms and conditions for this week's HTC competition are on our website, offsiderulepodcast.com.